The Fan on Demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce, and who knows what else in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, behind the glass, keeping me in check, Danny Riccio, making sure I'm sticking to time here because I often get in trouble for not sticking to time. And, of course, Igor Enriquez, who's not wearing a controversial soccer shirt today, so he's in my good books. But I think he hinted to me before I came into the studio that he's going to change to make me a little bit more irate. I'll tell you someone who's irate right now. It's Dana White. If you missed what Nate Diaz recently tweeted today, we will talk about it a little bit later on with Dwayne Finley from Bleacher Report. Nate Diaz is apparently going to be, he's currently fined and suspended, or at least suspended by the UFC for a controversial tweet. He was referring to Brian Caraway. I'm not going to repeat what he said on air because I don't want to get in any trouble, but we'll discuss that with Dwayne Finley a little later on. If you want to know ahead of time what he said, just go to Nate Diaz's Twitter account. I think it's at NateDiaz209 to see what he said, and you'll see why he's technically suspended. But his manager, Mike Kogan, was on MMA Junkie and said, no, we're not pulling down the tweet. And the definition of the term he used should not be taken out of context, but it was said. And I know Nate and Dana White is pretty upset with that. Also joining me after the first break will be Chris the Menace Clements. He hasn't competed in a while, but he will join us today to talk about a potential fight that he's got upcoming. I'll let him share that news, but kicking off the show right now will be TJ Grant, UFC lightweight, a phenomenal fighter, record of 20-5, undefeated at 4-0 since dropping to lightweight, and he has got a massive scrap ahead next week in Las Vegas, where the team UFC Central will be down there to cover UFC 160. TJ, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Just chilling out here. It's the end of an off day for me, so I'm really kind of just enjoying myself.
Anything left to do in training camp?
Just stay sharp and a few tough workouts left to go, but for the most part, the hard work's done and everything's good, man. Everything's gone, better than ever for this fight, and I've really listened to my body and just feeling top notch. I feel like I covered all the angles needed.
Yeah, we'll get to the scrap momentarily, but I do want to talk about the young one, daughter. You're a dad now.
I am a dad, yeah. So April 25th, my baby girl was born, and it was pretty incredible, man. I'm excited, I'm happy, and life is good. Life is good.
How has that changed your life now that you're a father and you've got someone else to sort of look after and make sure that her life is she's set for her life sort of thing?
Oh, it definitely adds a little bit of motivation for sure. It's added responsibility and just added work that you got to put in. But I like that, and I'm happy. And obviously, my fiance is just doing a wonderful job, especially kind of taking up the lion's share of the duties in the middle of the night for me. And it's an incredible experience. And I'm looking forward to after this fight, getting to really just enjoy myself and spend some time.
Yeah, a lot of guys have told me that once they have their first child or just children in general, it changes their training a little bit because they push hard because in the back of their mind, it's like, if my son or daughter sees me quitting right now, it won't look good.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I mean, I don't like to, I like to believe I'm a pretty self-motivated guy, but it definitely adds, a little bit extra, if there's something you could be doing. I'm not the type of guy that during rounds I'll ever, contemplate giving up or anything like that. But it's more just, when you're trying to get your rest or you want to stretch out or do these other things, all the extra things that are needed to be successful and just, looking after your body and stuff like that. I'm really, just trying to do all those things because, I owe it to her and I owe it to myself and the rest of my family to do my best.
We're in conversation with Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia's finest, not Sidney Crosby, TJ Grant. And TJ Grant has a huge scrap next week against Gray Maynard with title implications. Dana White at a post-fight press conference, UFC 159. I was standing in the room there when he announced that Gray Maynard and TJ Grant, the winner, gets a title shot against Ben Henderson. Is that when you found out about the news?
I was out. I got the text, man. I was like, wow. It's pretty excited. It was a sleepless night. It felt good to just, that just solidifies where I'm at, and you know, I'm doing the right things, and you know, to have the boss say that, it's you know, it's great, and just, you know, but again, it doesn't really add anything extra to this fight, because I was incredibly motivated just to get out there and, you know, put on an exciting fight and to win against Gray Maynard. And you know, that's my main concern. I'm not even going to think about Benson right now, because you know, my ultimate goal, yeah, is to get the title, but you know, I'm putting 110% into fighting this fight, and you know, just being able to leave it and, like, you know, once the fight's over, just feel like I've done everything to get the result I want, and you know, leave nothing left to you know, to be put out.
Yeah, see, it's funny you mentioned Benson, because the first thing that I thought of when the news was announced, and I was talking to some of the guys at UFC Central, the TV side, I said, you know what's going to drive me nuts? When TJ Grant gets asked 1,000 times about Ben Henderson and how would he fight Ben Henderson when his next opponent is Gray Maynard, and people are forgetting that he's got to fight Gray Maynard first. Are you ready for that when you get down to Vegas for the various reporters that are going to ask you about Ben Henderson, when the obvious situation at hand here is Gray Maynard?
Yeah, and I mean... You know, it's actually funny, because, like, you know, now we're talking title, but even before the title, you know, people are sometimes ask you, like, you know, what's next? Who do you want to fight if everything goes your way? And I mean, I get asked that in almost every one of my UFC fights, and you know, I never really jump at that, because you know, I don't like to look past anyone, and you know, why would I get to this point and overlook the toughest guy I've fought to date? You know, it'd be kind of stupid for me to do so. You know, I don't mind the question, because I'm just going to give the same answer. You know, I'm excited to fight Gray Maynard, and you know, I'm just focused and pumped up. You know, I can honestly say that I'm pretty excited for this fight. You know, I always say that before a fight, but you know, I've never really felt this type of excitement coming into a fight, just feeling like, you know, everything's gone right, and you know, I know that I've done everything up until this point to get me to a good position, and put in all the work in my training camp, and I'm just ready to go out there and have a great fight.
Where was training camp? All the way in Halifax or Cole Harbour?
Cole Harbour, baby. Yeah.
I shouldn't even ask the question, but I had to. Yeah. Who's been there? Scott and everybody?
Yeah, and, you know, brought in some people as well, just, you know, trying to get bodies, you know, similar to Gray Maynard, and just, you know, doing a lot of things, really like listening to my body, and you know, I don't really want to give away too much, but you know, I'm just, like I said, man, it's been a great camp.
Good to hear. Now, you mentioned that when you heard the news or you got the text, it was kind of a sleepless night. Did something in the back of your mind say, wait a second, we got to change anything? Or did you really realize, you know what, we're not changing anything, we're going to continue doing what we're doing here?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, at that point, everything was going, you know, smoothly, and you know, obviously at that point, I think it was like, you know, 3 weeks ago or something, you know, I almost wanted to like kick it into overdrive at that point, but you know, everything's just been brought along so smoothly, and you know, my conditioning's right where it needs to be, and I'm just, you know, finding that out. I mean, you know, just to hear your name being brought up in a title eliminator bout is, you know, it definitely feels good, but, you know, it doesn't mean jack if I don't go out there and perform. So you know, that's all my focus, and just, you know, kind of trying to not to get too high with the highs or low with the lows, you know, just try to stay even keel throughout the whole thing, and, you know, hopefully have the fight of my life.
When you first signed on to fight Gray Maynard and then getting ready for him to, you know, to compete against him next Saturday night, did you notice something different in his style that it's like, you know what, wait a second, we have to do this because he does that? Or, you know, in terms of what he brings to the table, because obviously he's got good punching power, he's a great boxer, excellent wrestling, but when you break down the tape, do you see something different where it's like, wait a second, guys, we got to be smart here?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of aspects of the fight, and yeah, you fight a guy like Gray, you got to be on your toes all the time, because, you know, he'll put you down. I mean, he hits hard. You know, I'd say that's his biggest weapon. I mean, obviously his wrestling, his ability to control where the fight goes is a great asset to go with that, because he has no fear of being taken down and stuff like that. So when he goes out there, he plants his feet and he throws hard. But I also know that, you know, he's probably evolved a lot in the last year and a half. He's only fought like once or something like that. So, you know, he's switched camps. He's definitely, you know, I'm expecting the best Gray Maynard, but, you know, at the same time, you know, I've been, you know, fighting Gray every single day of this training camp, thinking about it, and, you know, I feel 100% ready.
I had almost a two-part question here, but I'll ask you just one portion right now. He's been off, like you mentioned, for a while. He hasn't competed since, I think, June or July of last year. Do you think that layoff is going to hurt him, or is he the type of guy that, you know, you have to be ready for the best Gray Maynard, like you mentioned, but that's a long layoff, and you're pretty fresh.
Yeah, I mean, speaking for myself, I feel great. I've had some things bother me in the last, like, year and a bit, but, I've nipped it all in the bud. I really, like I said, listen to my body, and I've gotten healthy even throughout this training camp, which is usually doesn't happen, but it did. And, as far as him, I'm expecting that he's gotten better. Sometimes when you're injured, you're unable to train. I know he's been injured and stuff like that. So, ideal circumstances, he hasn't gotten any better. He's gotten worse. And, but realistically, I'm expecting the best Gray Maynard to date,
I'm actually sort of, call it greed, TJ, if you want, but I'm actually upset that this is the second fight in the pay-per-view. I think it should be the third fight in the pay-per-view, even though I know Junior Dos Santos is co-main, and Kane and the boys are and Bigfoot are main event. I don't know why Glover's ahead of you guys, because this is a title fight, or a number one contender fight. So I want to ask you the question, would you rather this fight be a three-round fight or a five-round fight to get you ready potentially to take on Ben Henderson?
It's hard to say because, I prepared for, a three-round fight, but if need be, I could do five rounds right now. That's how I feel. And, I'm going to go out there and, like I said, I'm going to try to finish this fight. And I think three rounds is a long enough time for me to do that. It is what it is. I fought one five-round fight, but, it ended in the third round. So hopefully if the time comes for the title that, I'll have the experience, that's one thing, like it'd be good to get those championship rounds in, but I'm not the main event. So, I can't really cry about that.
What can fans expect when you show up there in Vegas? What do you think that week's going to be like?
The week it's going to be a little bit more probably hectic than the last few times, just getting to fight on the prelims and stuff like that. Just, you really get to relax fight week, but I'm sure not much has changed. UFC is pretty good about, giving us fighters our time and stuff needed. And as long as you fulfill your obligations for media and stuff, they're pretty good about it. So, I'm not expecting anything different. Fans, as far as what the fans can expect from me, I'm going to go out there and just, I'm going to fight. And I know I'll be able to hold my head high afterwards, win or lose. I know that I put everything into it up to this point, so it's going to be, you can only win.
All right, you got 10 seconds to convince the bosses here to send me to Cole Harbor, because you and I have talked about it so many times. Pitch it, man. Come on, pitch it.
Talk is cheap, man. I want to see it, dude. You got to come out here, get you some lobster or something like that, Show you what we do here, man. It's been a long time coming. I'd love to see you out here, and, you're more than welcome out in Cole Harbor.
There's my man right there, TJ Grant. TJ, I'll see you next Wednesday or Thursday, my man.
Cool, buddy. Take care.
There you have it. TJ Grant, UFC lightweight. He is taking on Gray Maynard next Saturday. All right, coming up after the break, the Menace, Chris Clements. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at Showdown Joe. My previous guest, TJ Grant, at TJ underscore Grant. And my next guest, you can follow him online, at Menace Clements, as Chris Clements, who hasn't competed in quite some time, is set to compete hopefully very soon with a recent announcement. And I'm hoping the two sort of tie in together, as if you've listened to this radio show and you've watched the TV show on numerous occasions, we've talked about UFC event happening in Toronto, third week of September, September 21st. We've mentioned it for a while, but it was made official earlier this week that the UFC will be heading to the Air Canada Center with UFC 165, Saturday, September 21st. We definitely look forward to that. And as always, with any Canadian event, as you're about to see, obviously, with UFC 161 in Winnipeg, tons of Canadian talent added to the card. I thought Chris was going to compete in June 15th in Winnipeg. He's unable to do so, and I'm hoping he will compete on September 21st in Toronto. We're now joined by the Menace himself, Chris Clements. Chris, what's going on, my man?
Not too much. Just chilling out at home right now. Just put the baby girl to bed.
So you're doing that. So TJ Cran just had a little girl. You got your little girl. Is she going to sleep right now or what?
Yeah, she's in bed now. She goes down pretty easy now. So she wears herself out because she's running around the house all day long. So.
Oh, so you're at that stage. Oh, trust me. Trust me, shall we?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was going to ask you, you haven't competed, obviously, since July of last year, UFC 149 in Calgary. That fight had, as for people that don't know, it's been overturned to a no contest because of Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle's no longer with the UFC right now. So that last fight is not a loss. It is a no contest. But you haven't competed. Why?
I had shoulder surgery in September. After I fought Rich Clemente, I was having some shoulder pain, so I went and had an MRI done. And right after I got the MRI, probably a week later, I got a phone call saying I was going to be fighting in the UFC. So I just kind of let it be, and I just never really dealt with it. And by the time I got my results back, well, actually, I had to get another separate MRI done after the Wisniewski fight because the pain had increased. And by the time I got my results back, I had torn my bicep tendon off, torn my supraspinatus in half, and torn my infraspinatus 2.5 centimeters off the bone. So I was pretty much fighting both my fights in the UFC with like one arm, just basically on adrenaline. So I finally had it fixed up, and it's pretty much 100% right now. Just a little bit weak still, but other than that, I got full range of motion back, and I'm able to train full time again. So,
what's the rehab been like?
The rehab was tough at first. Like for 4 months, I wasn't allowed to even jog, just from the impact of me hitting the ground, moving my shoulder, trying to sleep in a sling for 6 weeks was pretty horrible as well. But ever since then, once I got back training and the strength and stuff's been coming back pretty quick. Range of motion was back pretty much right away. As soon as I got mobility back, full range of motion was almost right back right away. So everything's been going pretty good, and it feels better than it's felt in years. So I'm pretty excited to have a fight with a full training camp.
Now, speaking of fight, any chance you can compete in Toronto?
That's the plan. I was contacted for the Winnipeg show, but at that time I wasn't quite 100% yet. I didn't want to start a camp unless I was going to be 100%. So I kind of asked them, I'll probably be ready mid-summer, but I would prefer just to wait so I could fight at home in Toronto. But it sounds like my manager said it, Joe Silva, was like, okay, we just put you on that card. So that's all I know. My manager said Joe Silva said okay, but I had no opponent or anything of that sort.
Do you want to compete at welterweight still or lightweight, or do you want to change weight divisions?
I'm up in the air right now. I would like to drop down lightweight. Right now I'm basically sitting at 200 pounds. I've been training full-time and not really doing cardio as much as I should be to cut weight. So I'm basically just trying to diet, like a healthy diet, not really killing myself, and just slowly drop weight down and see where I am when the fight comes. I mean, if they call me for a fight in June or July and I'm at, under 190 or 185 or so, then I might think of going to 55 instead. Normally I walk around at 205 in between fights, and right now at 200 pounds, I've never been under 200 pounds unless I had a fight booked. Never. So this is basically right now is the lightest I've ever been without having a fight booked, and I still got a few months to go. So I'm just kind of going with the flow. I like to do it healthy. I don't want to kill myself, especially be my first fight back. So I'm just kind of going to see where I end up.
Now, what does a guy like Carter Will say? Does he want you at 170? Does he want you at 155?
I don't know, really, because a lot of jokes get made about it. A lot of guys look at me and say, there's no way you're going
to
do it.
Well, if you want to know what Hominick and I were saying about you, we can't do it on air, so.
Oh, actually, I just got I came back from Halifax. I actually met a guy out there that was a cousin of a guy that was driving us around. He took us out for dinner a couple times. And he sent me I left my sweater in his truck, and he sent me the mail to me, and the address was sent to Chris the Menu Clement.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah. I eat so much when I was out there. So.
And I can attest to that. For those that don't know, I'm from the Italian heritage. If I want to sit down, I want to eat, I can eat, but I stand no chance with Menzi. Chris Clements can just eat me under the table, but you could burn it off way quicker than I can, that's for sure.
Yeah, I could eat a lot, but I train hard. I'm kind of getting to the point now where I eat according to what I'm going to do. If I want to have something stupid to eat, I'm going to make sure that I have a hard training session within an hour or two after that, instead of just doing it late at night. And alcohol is one big thing, too. I stopped drinking wine. And have all the beers all of a sudden. Like in the first week, I basically didn't have any wine. I dropped like 8 pounds. So,
well, I'll take care of the wine. You know that. I mean, that's not an issue yet. So if next time we connect or wherever we go, I'll take care of the wine. You can take the beer. Now, let's talk about a few things here because, I mean, I get a lot of people asking me about you in terms of, you know, what's next, what's happening. And, you know, I've explained to them the situation that you're under, but it's a layoff. It's going to be a long layoff. We may see it with Gray Maynard when he takes on TJ Grant next Saturday. Your layoff is going to be actually longer. Is there any concern that, you know what, I've got to train harder or I got to train smarter?
There's no concern. Like, the only concern that I have is, like, I was so comfortable getting into the cage before. Because I was fighting quite often. So, like, the pre-fight nerves weren't there. But as far as anything else, a fight's a fight to me. I'm not George St. Pierre. I don't have a super game plan and a strategy. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to try to knock somebody out. That's just the way I fight. I don't overthink it. I just enjoy fighting and putting my skills against somebody else's skills and just having fun in there. So, you know, I'm not too worried about my return and being laid off all that time. So, you know, I've trained every day in the gym with guys that are, you know, like UFC fighters. And that's another thing, too, is being back from my injury is I'm really finding a new love for jiu-jitsu again. My gi's been on, you know, a couple times a week again. I haven't done that in a very long time. So I couldn't do any stuff with my torn shoulder. I hadn't been able to wrestle or do jiu-jitsu for almost a year. I basically trained all my fights, hitting pads twice a week and jogging. So, you know, I'm kind of excited to get back in there and put, like, my full skills to test.
I don't know if I believe you. Wow. The jiu-jitsu's back.
Yeah, I've been going at it pretty hard, even like studying like stuff online and checking out some Mendez Brothers videos and things like that when I was in Halifax. Just, you know, I kind of finding a new love for it because it's been so long since I've been able to do it.
Oh, I'm going to send you some links of some crazy jiu-jitsu stuff, some quick finishes. Yeah, right. You're going to absolutely love it. You mentioned training with some other guys at Adrenaline. Have you helped Sammy Stowe prepare for his fight at all?
Yeah, I just sparred with him on Tuesday night there and we got a couple rounds in, so. You know, plus I train with them over at Carter Walls, SNSL Sports Training over there, doing their strength and conditioning together. So, you know, Sammy's been in the gym quite regular, and he didn't have a long layoff from his last fight. So, you know, he's already in great shape, and he stayed in great shape. So it's a pretty good camp for him.
Are you going to be going to Winnipeg?
No, I probably won't be making the trip out there. Hopefully your partner there is supposed to get me a meet and greet that day, actually.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. One thing he also mentioned is that he's planning on putting all of us together on the golfing range, or at least somewhere where we can all meet and you know, hit some holes or hit some balls in some holes out there. So
that's one thing I'm excited too. My golf swing was actually last year you played with me. I had a shorter swing because my shoulder was a mess.
Nah, that's excuses, my friend.
No, I played better because my shoulder was a mess.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right.
Because it was shortening up my swing because I couldn't take a big swing at it. So. I'm kind of curious. I haven't had a chance to really get out this year, so I'm kind of curious to see if I could fight myself without taking a big smack at it and still keep my score down.
Now, for those that don't know, I mean, yeah, you're a mixed martial artist. You get into a cage, and as you mentioned, you know, you just want to go in there and knock somebody out. But you're also an avid golfer. Where did the love for golf come from?
I'm just a competitive person, basically. And I remember my stepdad and my uncle one time were going golfing, and they told me I had to come with them. And I was in my early 20s. And I think I shot about a 64 in the first 9 holes. And that wasn't without me smashing clubs against a tree and throwing them in a tree and kicking things over and swinging and missing. I was absolutely horrible. And I remember that night I was in the other room and I heard them talk to my mom, telling her that how bad I sucked, that they wouldn't take me golfing again. So I was like, oh, those son of a bitches. So I went home and I turned on the Golf Channel Academy Live and got some golf lessons off TV, and then every time I took my dog outside, I just took my golf club out. And then finally, by the end of that summer, I was kicking both their butts. So it was just one of those things. I just had a competitive drive to get even with them for talking smack about me. So,
well, there you go. All right. Well, definitely, I think if everything goes to plan, we're doing it after Sammy competes. I think Pearson's on the card, and after Pearson competes, we're all going to get together and do it. But let's bring this back to mixed martial arts. As you get ready, you're getting back in the gym. You talk about jiu-jitsu. What are some of the things that you need to work on to get your body mechanics, especially your shoulder, back to where it needs to be on a consistent basis without overtraining? Like, the one thing that guys tell me after shoulder surgery is, you know what, man, I don't want to even lift weights anymore. I don't want to do anything that's going to strain my shoulder. Then I have other guys saying, no, I'm going to do it because I want to get that strength back. When you look at that, especially with a guy like Carter Wells, what does he recommend and what are you guys going to do to get you back to where you need to be? Because obviously you mentioned diet, nutrition is another thing.
Yeah, we're working on a lot of stuff in a pool. We do a lot of stuff in a pool with these resistance. They're like a wristband, basically, but they almost have a fin on them. I can do some range of motion things in there, and I can do some rotator cuff stuff.
a lot of mobility drills and strengthening up the smaller muscles instead of the big powerful muscles, because you know it's a little rotator cuffs and things like that that are going to give way. So I've just been doing a lot of stuff like taking care of my the way my body moves as opposed to making it strong. Especially if I drop down the lightweight, like I'm not going to have a problem being a strong guy if I drop down the lightweight. I'm going to be stronger than most guys at that weight class, so that's another reason why I'd like to drop down. As far as that welterweight, you know, I think I can hold my own in the strength department there too. It's just when I'm fighting guys like Matt Riddle, who's 6'2", and you know, Keith Wisniewski is almost 6'2", like just over 6'1". You know, I'm a striker at 5'10", barely kicking 5'10". I think a 68-inch reach. I think that the girl that fought, that cat girl that just fought in the UFC, I think she had a longer reach than I did. So, you know, it's not practical for me to be fighting these big tall guys as a striker. It's okay if you're, you know, Hendricks or Ellenberger or even St. Pierre, who's a pretty small welterweight, but they're mainly wrestlers. So they have their fallback if they can't reach with their strikes. So
let's say you do drop down to lightweight. What about the speed factor? How do you increase your speed factor for the guys in that division?
I'm not worried about that at all. I think I'm probably one of the fastest welterweights out there. The guys I've trained with, Mark Hominick, Chris Wardeski, and Sam Stout, I've trained with those guys for like 8 years straight. Those have been my main sparring partners. And honestly, other than Mark, I'm probably the fastest of the other bunch. So I don't think speed will be a problem with a lightweight. I'm just a naturally fast guy, and I move very well. So.
And now you guys always wonder why, whenever I have Chris on the show, or Mark, or Sam, or the other Chris on there, why these guys are all nuts, because they've been fighting each other for the past, what, 10 years? More.
Yeah, about that.
How does it feel when you guys have to basically corner one another or see another guy fight? Does it drive you nuts? You wish you were in there?
Yeah, we don't really corner each other a whole lot, because we all kind of have run our own camps separately. We all have different coaches, but we all train together when it comes to sparring and things like that, because Mark is going to move a lot different than I am. His body type is different, so he trains with different coaches than I train with usually. But watching each other fight, you know, we're all, it's almost like you're in there. You're just as nervous to watch one of your teammates fight as you are when you're getting in there yourself.
Bingo, there you go. Chris, thank you very much. We've got to hit a commercial now, but we appreciate it. I look forward to running into you very soon, and I'll make sure I get on You-Know-Who to get that appearance done for you.
All right, brother.
There you have it. Chris Clements, make sure you follow the Menace, at Menace Clements. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Dwayne Finley from the Bleacher Report to talk all kinds of headlines from the world of mixed martial arts. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. So far, so good, as we had TJ Grant on in the first segment, Chris the Menace Clements on in the second segment, and right now I'm joined by the feature writer for Bleacher Report's Caged In, a contributor for Fight Magazine and UFC.com. He is a published novelist skilled in the art of fatherhood, and I'll probably debate that with him, but he's Indianapolis' finest, Dwayne Finley. You can follow Dwayne online via Twitter, at Dwayne Finley MMA. Dwayne, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, brother? Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
No, listen, man, it's my pleasure after what happened in New Jersey when you almost decided to fight me because I never had you on the show. So this is my thanks.
I appreciate that, man. Well, you know, it's an honor for to be on the Showdown Joe program here. So yeah, man, let's get going.
Now, let me ask you a quick question, though. I want people to understand what we go through on the road as the media. I call it the traveling circus, and it's always great to catch up with my boys in different cities. But what's your take on the traveling circus that is the UFC and the UFC media?
Oh, it is. It's every bit of, like you said, a traveling circus where we go from town to town, and we just kind of shuffle around. We're running around like crazy. Sometimes, like this last case in New Jersey, you know, we were just stuck away from everything and just a crummy little hotel. But, yeah, it's a lot of hustle. And I don't know if people realize it that much that, you know, they see the stories we post or they, you know, they hear the things on the radio or they see, you know, you on your TV. But yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into all that. And I just don't know if people understand how tattered it is, you know, how we get everything put together.
And the funny thing is the incredible conversations that we generally have throughout the day, whether it's first thing in the morning for breakfast, whether it's at lunch, whether it's at a UFC function, or if it's later in the evening, and you get crazy stuff to discuss. And the first thing I want to discuss is this whole Pat Healy situation. He loses $130,000. He admits to smoking marijuana beforehand. What do you make of this whole situation with Pat Healy? Especially, and I had a really good tweet from someone, one of the guys that follows me, says it's almost ironic that, you know, Pat Healy is gets nailed for this when Vitor Belfort is headlining an event with TRT.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the contrast in that, Joe. That's remarkable for something. I mean, everybody has their different opinions on how marijuana, it's legal some places, it's illegal other places, but a rule's a rule. And that's something that Pat definitely had to follow, and he knew he was going to be tested for it. I think the really hard thing here is what a turning point for Pat Healy this could have been. I mean, he had a career night in New Jersey, had this huge win over Miller, you know, gets these, you know, both bonuses, bam, you know, it's great for Pat, and then to have it all taken away in one fell swoop over something that he certainly could have avoided. It's just a very bad look for Pat Healy, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from it. You know, the win's going to be overturned, and now we'll have to see, you know, after suspension, what they're going to do with him. But on the Vitor Belfort tip, yeah, it's kind of, this has to stop too. I mean, this is like, we have a Rocky IV situation, like, you know, Ivan Drago down in Brazil with Vitor, who, you know, we know who's taking TRT, you know, and he obviously showing the effects, but Pat Healy, you know, loses 130 grand in one fell swoop because of a mistake. But, you know, it is a mistake that he made, and rules are rules. So, you know, they certainly have to abide by them.
And I concur, because I had this conversation with the UFC Central Television team. We actually sit, ironically enough, right next to the Human Resources Department here at Sportsnet. And we got into a discussion with them, and I kind of made it clear, saying, look, whether you agree or disagree with whatever stance you have on marijuana, the bottom line is, if HR came to my team and said, hey, guys, on, let's say, July 15th, we are going to test you. We're going to test you. For whatever, whether it's booze, whether it's marijuana, whatever, they're going to test us. Well, guess what? Come June 15th or July 15th, if anyone on my team fails that test, I'm not going to be a happy camper. That's basically what happened here.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about this, the New Jersey Commission is heralded for being one of the best athletic commissions, you know, in North America. So Pat Healy knew he was going to be tested. He knew this was coming up, and he still made that mistake. So, yeah, the fault ultimately goes to Pat Healy. Yeah, are there enthusiasts or, you know, sympathizers saying, you know, it's wrong and, you know, marijuana is this or that? Yeah, that's going to happen all day long. But the hard bottom line is that a rule is a rule, and he broke it. And, you know, the punishment was handed down. Was it too harsh? You know, that's another argument. But, you know, as we're kind of discussing right here, a rule is a rule, and Pat knew what was going on.
What does this mean for the lightweight rankings now in terms of A, Jim Miller, and B, Pat Healy? Because now that this is going to be obviously overturned in a no contest, does Pat Healy remain above Jim Miller? Does Jim Miller go back to his ranking? Well, where would you put these guys?
That's a great question. I was actually talking to Cowboy Cerrone today for a feature with UFC.com, and we had this discussion about, you know, the lightweight division is the most competitive it's been in years. And actually, it's kind of strange, too, because it's certainly wide open right now with Pettis going down to 45 and some of the, you know, the higher top-ranked guys losing. With the Healy-Miller situation, that throws another wrench in the works, because now we don't know. I mean, we obviously saw what happened in the cage, but now, you know, we're going to have to look at records. And I actually think, you know, Jim Miller will hold above Pat Healy when it all comes down.
Yeah, this would be a great conversation. Are you heading to Vegas next week?
No, I'm going to make it out for the expo and the July show, though. But I'm definitely looking forward to that card.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting scenario when I get down there to speak with all the different media. I'll hit you up with a text when I get some conversations done to figure out exactly what everyone's thinking or believing in terms of Pat Healy and Jim Miller. But the irony of all this, of course, as we all know, $130,000 that could have been in Pat Healy's bank account is no longer. Half of that goes to Brian Caraway. Brian Caraway gets the submission of the night, and surely they're obviously very excited for him and Misha Tate as they both get some good money after their fights. But Nate Diaz recently tweeted earlier today something fairly derogatory. I mentioned it off of the top of the show. I'm not going to repeat the word. And if people want to see it, again, at NateDiaz209 to see what he tweeted. And now he is suspended by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He may be fined, and he also may be cut. What are your thoughts on this whole scenario now?
Well, I think he could have chose any other word to use than the word that he did use, because, you know, knowing, you know, the Diaz's background, and I don't know Nate Diaz personally, but I certainly know enough of the guys that he's close with to know that they vouch for his character, that he's a good kid. Reading the tweet, I don't think he meant it in a homophobic way, but being a professional athlete and representative of a company, you have to mind yourself, and you have to know that word carries, you know, some connotation with it. Just like you represent the companies you represent, and I represent the companies that I represent, you know, putting anything like that out on Twitter is certainly grounds for punishment, and it after the tweet went out, it wasn't clear what the UFC was going to do. Now I do see that they have suspended him. So, yeah, I mean, he was voicing his opinion. That's fine. But at the same time, you have to know that word or words of that nature carry slander or connotation with them. So definitely, I think the punishment fits for this.
We are in conversation with Duane Finley, feature writer for Bleacher Report's Caged In, a contributor for Fight Magazine and UFC.com. Now, when this is all said and done, do you think Nate Diaz will still be employed by the Ultimate Fighting Championship? And I ask you this because his manager, Mike Hogan, told the boys over at MMA Junkie that do not take down the tweet, because if you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, the definition of the three-letter word that he used is not towards any insults to any homosexuals. It's used in a different context, quote-unquote, in Northern California. When this is all said and done, will Nate Diaz still be a part of the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
I think that's a great question, Joe, because let's look at Diaz's current situation. You know, he was a contender back in, you know, in December. He's had a nasty two-fight skid, especially with this last one in San Jose, getting stopped by Josh Thompson. So you know, his role in the division has certainly changed. But I think he will still keep his job, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Diaz is, you know, we've heard Dana White say in the past that the older brother doesn't play the game, the younger brother does play the game. And I think for business-wise, I think he's done a lot in the UFC fold. I do think he'll keep his job, but I do think it's going to be a rough road for him. I think he's at a strange career impasse. You know, before this Thompson fight, he was talking about jumping back up to welterweight where, you know, he got housed, you know, by Rory Mack, and Tim was a closer fight, but we saw him get bounced out of the welterweight division. And then he was fighting Thompson and kind of, you know, wishy-washy on his stance before he went into that fight. So I just think he's in a rough place career-wise, and this certainly does not help that. But I think the UFC would be willing to definitely give him another opportunity. I think the bigger question is, you know, does Nate Diaz choose to stay, you know, with the UFC with what's going on, or, you know, supposedly going on with his brother starting that war fight promotion here in California?
You took the next question right out of my mouth, and I almost found it coincidental, because the last time you and I were in the same room together, Damon Martin was there, Chuck Mendenhall was there, and the conversation about Nate Diaz moving up to 170 pounds, and my response was, could this be confirmation that Nick Diaz has officially retired from mixed martial arts? Then the news comes out that he's now applied for a promoter's license. War MMA is the promotion, and that's Latin for Nate Diaz having a home to compete outside of the UFC.
Yeah, I think with Nick, I think this is Nick's way of trying to take control of his view of the fight game. You know, we've talked about this, Joe, a bunch. We talked about it that night in New Jersey. We all kind of get a little kick out of the way, you know, Nick Diaz sees things from a different point of view. It's a unique point of view. And I think this is his way of doing things the way that he wants them done, or thinks they should be done. I think he's going to find out that it's easier said than done, though. I really do. I think, you know, promoting a fight operation with easy business, you know, everybody would do it. Certainly a lot of people try, but, you know, there's only few and far between make it the long haul. So I do think, you know, Nick starting this promotion is definitely, like you said, you know, kind of a flag to say that he's retired, at least for the time being, and, you know, he might just meet at this time.
We got about 2 minutes to go here. I'll throw some rapid-fire things at you. Who walks away victorious on Saturday night, Vitor Belfort or Luke Rockhold?
I think it's going to be Luke Rockhold's coming out party. He certainly has the most pressure on him. I think he's a well-rounded guy, and he's got, you know, a future of division kind of riding on his shoulder. So I think he weathers the storm, and Luke pulls this one out.
Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva. Does it happen?
I don't think it does. I think Chael will push for it, but I don't think Wanderlei is gonna have any part of it. I just think it's a bad fight for him. I think he knows it, and I think it's just all talk.
What went through your mind when you heard that Brandon Vera is taking on Big Ben Rothwell at heavyweight?
Actually kind of chuckled because it goes back to the, you know, Brandon Vera saying, oh, so long ago, I'm going to be the champion in two divisions. I think it's a bad move for him, and I think it's going to turn out poorly.
Gegard Mousasi is talking 185 pounds. Are you buying or selling?
I'm buying, and I think it's a great move. I think it's where he belongs.
Josh Barnett says he's pretty close to signing with the UFC. Are you buying or selling?
I'm buying on that, too. I'd like to see Barnett versus Mir. Make it happen. Let's do it.
You like the Barnett versus Mir fight?
I love it, man. I love it. I think, you know, the two old-school grapplers, they both have their own game, and I think we'll find out. You know, that's just a fight I'd love to see.
Anything else on your mind that you want to discuss before we say goodbye?
I do think that the one thing I don't want to see is Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos fight for the 15th time. I hope another fight gets put in there before those two go for the trilogy bout. So that's what I'm hoping for personally.
Well, it remains to be seen if Bigfoot can pull this off. I don't think he can, but it'll be very interesting to see if he pulls it off. Either way, I look forward to running into you very soon. And as always, thank you. Thank you very much for stepping up and coming on to the show, my man.
You're the man, Joe. I'll see you on the road, brother.
There you have it, Dwayne Finley. You can follow him online at Dwayne Finley MMA. Special thanks again to TJ Grant in our first segment. Special thanks to Chris Clements. Thanks to you, the listeners, who are listening online. I'm getting a lot of tweets of people listening all the way from Vancouver to London to all these different places listening right here to UFC Central. Thank you to all of you, to the guys behind the glass, Danny Riccio and Igor Enriquez. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.